It wasn't announced last night, but children, come forward. Was it this? You'll figure it out. Okay. Well, it is so good to be able to talk to you children. And what do I have? A Kit Kat. You don't like them, do you? Well, all of my students know that I love Kit Kats. Ellie sometimes calls me the cookie monster. That's because I know when there's good cookies in the freezer. Sometimes I get some, but... Well, I have a question for you. I need a volunteer. I'm sure I'll have lots of volunteers tonight. They say, well, anything that has to do with money, but anyway. Okay, come up here. You can come up. Okay, the question is, if you had a choice, okay, would you choose the Kit Kat or a $5 bill? You would? You would choose a $5 bill. Why is that? I guess, too. Well, you made a good choice. You can have that $5 bill. Now, I have a question. There's a story in the Bible of someone, and this is a phrase that I want you to remember. And the phrase is, he chose rather. Do you know that she chose rather tonight? Instead of the Kit Kat, she took the $5 bill. Now, do you know of anyone in the Bible that had a choice and he could have had lots of things because he was in the palace, but he chose rather? Who do you think? Wasn't Solomon. Someone else want to try? Yes. No, it wasn't Saul. King David, that's a good one, but tonight, Daniel, is it this machine up here? Who? I'll give you a clue. His name starts with an M. Moses. Yes, Moses, it says about him that he chose rather, and I'll read the passage of Scripture. My voice is loud enough. They'll hear me without. So, shall I turn this off?
And you know what I want? All of you have choices to make. You know that? Every day you make choices. What Brother Dave wants you to think about, he hopes that when you make choices, that you make a good choice, just like she made tonight. She chose what was more valuable. The candy looks good, but the $5 bill is more valuable than the Kit Kat. And so let me just show what it said. This is really interesting about Moses, because Moses grew up in the palace. He had all kinds of things. But do you know what it says about it? It says he chose rather to suffer. Do you like to suffer? Yeah. It says he chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Says by faith, when he was come to years, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. You know what? Choice is a wonderful thing. You know there's only one kind of cookie, right? You know what kind it is? Chocolate chip. What?
Oatmeal raisin.
Oh, no, it's chocolate chip cookies. And I tell people there's only one kind of jelly, and that's strawberry jelly. No, you know what kind of cereal do you like? Do you have your favorite cereal? You got your favorite. What's your favorite cereal?
Cream.
Hey, oh, what's that? Some of you like Trix. You know what I like? I like Light. That sounds good, too. How many of you like Light? You know, you get to choose in life, right? You get to choose. Sometimes your mom gives you something that you say, I don't like that. Sometimes you got to eat things that you don't like, so you learn to like. But what I'm saying is, I hope that it can be said about each of you, he could have chosen this. He could have gotten the Kit Kat. But instead, he chose the $5 bill. So I hope you, when you think of choosing, you choose good things in life, not the wrong things, right? Because the wrong things will take you down a road that you don't want to go. It says he esteemed, or he had respect for the reproach of Christ, and he saw that as greater riches than all the treasures of Egypt. Think of what he could have had. He was the king's son. He could have had all the treasures of Egypt, everything that money could buy, but he chose instead to follow God and to suffer with the people of God. So, when you see a Kit Kat, and after church, not now, but after church, you come to me, and you will get it. Okay? If your mommy and daddy let you, I think they will. Just don't make a mess. Just don't make a mess. But when you see a Kit Kat, from now on, I hope you think about this thing of choice, choosing rather. And I hope it can be said about each of you that he or she chose rather what is good than what is bad. Sometimes you're tempted to choose the bad, right? And sometimes it's easy to choose the bad, but God wants you to choose the good. Okay,
I'll come back here. Yeah. We'll make sure.
So good to be here this evening, and as the week has gone on, our hearts have been not only turned towards the Lord, but they've been turned towards you as a congregation. Actually, when I heard about Rich and his situation, I wondered if Joshua would call me and say, well, Dave, maybe we should postpone the meetings. And as I was here today and had the opportunity again to be with Rich and Alma, I was so glad that we were here. And I realize that, well, you know, as we were singing, I couldn't help but reflect, God is God through the good and the bad. That phrase just kept coming back to me. God is God through the good and through the bad. And what a blessing to have a God who knows all things and he understands where we're at. As we were singing, I also thought of when I was about 16 or 17 and I was going through deep depression, and I tried sleeping on the sidewalk and I tried sleeping with music. When the music is all gone, what do you do? I remember the night my family gathered around me and laid hands on me and prayed for me, and I still took tranquilizers to be able to sleep at night. And as I sat here today thinking about how God is so faithful in the experiences of life, I was just reminded of the challenge, and I wanted to encourage all of us tonight that in the darkness and in the difficulties of life, God is there. We don't always feel Him. We don't always sense Him. And crying and struggling in the middle of a woods in my little orange van, not able to function very well, I remember looking over in the passenger seat, and I would just say, God or Jesus, if you could somehow let me know that you're here, I think that I can get through this. And I want to say to us tonight, God is a good God. Wow. He is God regardless of the circumstances, and He cares so deeply about each of our journeys, and I am so grateful tonight for His faithfulness. As we begin again tonight, let's sing in an invitation to the Holy Spirit, come gracious Spirit, heavenly dove, and just ask God to speak to our hearts. Come gracious Spirit, heavenly dove, with light and comfort from above, be thou our guardian, thou our guide, o'er every thought and step preside, o'er every thought and step preside. The light of truth to us display, and make us know and choose thy way. Plant holy fear in every heart, that we from God may ne'er depart. That we from God may ne'er depart. Lead us to holiness the road, which we must take to dwell with God. Lead us to Christ, the living way, nor let us from His pasture stray, nor let us from His pasture stray. Lead us to God, our final rest, to be with Him forever blessed. Lead us to heaven, its bliss to share, fullness of joy forever there, fullness of joy forever there. Can you imagine what heaven will be like? I think it's hard for us sometimes to visualize the blessing and beauty of actually making it home, but that's going to be a glorious day for each of us. Let's take our Bibles, go to Acts chapter 27, verse 41 for a text for the evening message. Maybe rather a strange text. It's a word picture that I hope can help illustrate something that I think is just so important in our lives as young people. The text reads this way, and falling into a place where two seas met, they ran the ship aground. The forepart stuck fast and remained immovable, but the hinder part was broken with the violence of the waves. The message title tonight is called Falling Between Two Seas. Falling Between Two Seas. It's not too difficult to get the picture. You've heard of the saying, between a rock and a hard place. Have you ever felt like you were between a rock and a hard place? Battered by the sea coming at you from both directions. I would say to us tonight, most people do not start out in life wanting to see how messed up they can make their lives. Most people don't start out in life with the intention of being broken by the violence of the waves. Most people don't intend to get caught between two seas. Now, if we go back in this account, and I'll not take time to read it, but you see, starting out in life, in this account, you know what you had? The wind was blowing softly. There didn't seem to be a lot of danger in sailing. And the few warnings of danger seemed to be legalistic and restrictive. And sailing is fun and exciting, and any thought of shipwreck was pushed off as unlikely to happen. I shared with some, I was 17 years old. I had been doing carpenter work for 1 year. My dad didn't know anything about carpenter work, or so I thought. Walter Wilson said a high school senior is someone who knows everything there is to know, and they know it. I don't know how many seniors we have. Well, I was a high school senior. And, you know, it's amazing. We were on the front of the house chalking a line for the soffit. And I was on one ladder. My dad was on the other. And I pulled the line tight. And then because I'm particular, it had to be tighter and tighter. And all of a sudden, the line broke. I'll never forget what my dad did. He got off the ladder, walked into the house, and left me there to contemplate my actions. Now, there was more to it than what I told you. Well, guess what? I found out he knew a lot more about carpenter work than I thought he knew, and I found out later that I had known very little about carpenter work. So as you look at this account, it is so easy for us to think that we have things under control. You may think you have big plans and dreams for your life. The south wind is blowing softly, and you're going to sit back and enjoy the ride. And I would say to us, young people, it is right that you have dreams and that you have goals and that you have desires for your life. But I'm here to say to you that for some of you, God will take you through deep waters. He'll take you through experiences that probably you would not have asked for if you had a choice. So the important thing for us as young people is to realize that we have a need for counsel from parents, from pastors, and from teachers. And I'm so grateful for the people that were in my life that enabled me or gave me encouragement so that I was able to go in a good direction. Now, there's a lot of peer pressure. If you look at this, let me just go back and read in chapter 27, the first part. It says this, verse 9. Now when much time was spent and was sailing was now dangerous because the fast was now already past, Paul admonished them and he said, "Sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, not only of the lading and the ship, but also of our lives. Nevertheless, the centurion believed the master and owner of the ship more than those things which were spoken by Paul." Now notice this, and because the haven was not commodious to winter in, the more part advised to depart thence, also if by any means they might attain to Phoenix and there to winter which is a haven of Crete that lieth toward the southwest and northwest. And when the south wind blew softly, supposing they had obtained their purpose, loosing thence, they sailed close by Crete. But then you have these words, but not long after. And I told you about the young person who stood outside my house and he said, Dave, I cannot believe where I've allowed myself to come. And was facing the regrets of realizing that he had not been careful in the choices that he had made. So the application that I want us to get from this is that there are many things in life that can catch a person. It may seem harmless at first. The wind can be blowing softly, but later the wind can become a tempest, and temptations which seemed inviting and harmless can begin to drive you and control you, and you can find yourselves caught between two seas. I've often pondered, as a young person and as an adult, I've pondered the reality of the pressures that young people often face to compromise their faith and their integrity, their purity, their convictions, and even their salvation. Is it any surprise that Solomon says to us, remember your Creator in the days of your youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. By the way, I have just enjoyed, let me just say, I've enjoyed the young people here. I've enjoyed the children and just the attention that I sense from the young people as I've preached through these several evenings. And, you know, as I think of your life ahead of you, I just have a yearning and desire that God would somehow direct your steps and you'd be able to discover the wholeness and the blessing that comes from following him. And there's three sets of opposing seas that I just want to talk about briefly tonight, where you're between a rock and a hard place. They're kind of like battlegrounds that young people often face in their journey to maturity in Christ. And the first one is the sea of obedience versus rebellion. We've talked some about this. It's the question of control or having a heart that surrenders to God. Will I choose? Will you choose to obey? Or will you choose to have your own way? Now, the sea of independence is so appealing to young people. Freedom from mom and dad's authority. Freedom to do what I want to do. Freedom from the guidelines and restrictions of my church. Freedom to be my own boss. There's these temptations that we face as young people. And I often tell young people, and I referred to this the other night, never throw your mom and dad away. You might need them someday. You know, I tell young people this. I say, be patient with mom and dad. They'll grow up someday. They get a little smarter as you get older. It's kind of amazing. I'm just saying, you know what? I am amazed what young people will do that destroys relationships just simply so they can have their own way. I have talked to so many young people that are out of sorts with mom and dad because they're determined to do it their way. And I would just encourage you young people, as best as I know how, you won't always agree with mom and dad. Trust me. Sometimes the things they require of you seem ridiculous. My dad used to say, others may, but you cannot. What does that mean? Sometimes you say, well, dad, all the others are doing it. Well, maybe not. I'm just saying to us that this sea has battered and destroyed many of a young person. I can tell you there are young people that have a lot of regrets for their response when they rebelled against their mom and dad or against their church. What do they get? Broken relationships, barriers in communication, emotional and spiritual distance from God and family. Often when people get their own way, instead of the supposed satisfaction, there's an uneasy heaviness that follows their decision, despite their best efforts to justify the validity of their actions. I think of a young couple who left home, decided to move in with each other. Testimony was, they unpacked their things, and as they sat there in the living room looking at each other, instead of happiness, there was this heavy feeling. What are we doing? I'm saying to us young people, a lot of times what supposedly is to bring what we think is satisfaction often brings the opposite force. Satan's purpose is to alienate young people from their parents, from their church, from their God. So navigate carefully around the rapids of rebellion versus obedience. That's one thing I can just say. I'm so grateful. Somehow at a young age, I understood and really appreciated the counsel that my dad gave to me. He's now 89. I talk to him pretty much every day. The other week, I'll drink after a while. It wasn't too long ago my father ended up in the hospital. And as I got the news, I was thinking, and you know what went through my mind? If my dad passed away, I knew there was nothing between us. There was no unresolved conflicts at all. I knew that I could rest in peace knowing the kind of relationship I had with him. And it really does trouble me, people, that often at a time when young people need their parents the most and when they could have such a good relationship with mom and dad, that's often when Satan creates distance, makes it difficult for children to talk to their fathers or their mothers or to communicate about spiritual things. And to you fathers, I would just encourage you, find out where your children are at. Go up to them and just ask them, how are things going for you? What's happening in your life? What are the things you're struggling with? Sometimes I would do that and my children would say, everything's fine, only to come back to me later and say, Dad, you know what? I wasn't completely honest with you when you talked to me. They were going through struggles. You know what? Your parents know what life struggles are about. And for fathers, it's important for us. Well, I think of this thing, rebellion. I had a dad whose daughter was rebelling in our church. He didn't know what to do with her, so he came to me and he was asking me, and I got to thinking, and I realized this father, as a young man, had rebelled against his family and against the church. And he knew that. I said, you know what you need to do? I said, you need to sit down with your daughter and you need to apologize to her for your own rebellion, and you need to let her know what that rebellion did to you. I am a firm believer that so often things could be resolved if we as parents were honest with our children about our own struggles and be willing to help them with theirs. The second one is the sea of purity versus sensuality. Samson said, get her for me, for she pleases me well. Now, if you know, Joseph said, how can I do this sin against God? And Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. Our culture has opened the floodgates, really, of things that can defile. And young people, I just encourage you, you need to set boundaries in your heart where you decide what you're not going to do or what you will do. I recall going into a bookstore as a young man with completely innocent desires, no intentions of indulging in evil things. And while I was in the bookstore, I saw things that attracted my attention and soon pulled me in a wrong direction. And I remember thinking to myself, this is not what I want to do. And you know what I decided? I'm not going to go into bookstores. Now, I go into bookstores today. But I'm just saying to us, if you're struggling with temptation, don't put yourself in the path where you know you're going to be tempted and you're going to find yourself giving in to those temptations. There is a place for putting boundaries in your heart so that you're able to be victorious in your life. David, as a young person, said he refused to set anything wicked before his eyes. He guarded his friendships carefully. He was careful to what he listened to, and he used discretion in what he allowed in his mind. And I don't know how you're handling technology. You already know that I struggle with technology. I have this thing, I say I'm technologically impaired. I don't know if that's correct or not, but it doesn't seem to work for me the way it does for other people. My brother-in-law says, if anything's going to happen, go wrong with technology, it'll happen to Dave. So I have a little bit of a reputation on it. But young people, seriously, you have access to so much. And I'll just tell you, your parents, your church is not able to fully protect you from evil. You have to set boundaries in your heart if you're going to remain pure in today's world. And I just, with everything I know, want to encourage you to be able to have the strength of character to set boundaries in your life where you know that you're going to be able to stand. And guess what? You're going to experience tremendous blessings in your life from God when you're able to do that. The third and the last area is simply this one. The sea of conviction or compromise. You know, the children of Israel wanted a king. What was their reason? That we may be like the other nations. It's often the catalyst for compromise. Let me tell you, it's not an easy thing to stand alone. I remember coming home from work one day, and my son was in the church yard mowing lawn. He took care of the yard. As he was mowing lawn, cars drove into the churchyard. It was the other young people getting ready to go to, I think it was a concert, I'm not sure, but my son had never been invited to go. Now, maybe he wouldn't have gone with them, but you know what it feels like to not be included or invited? And that evening at the supper table, as we sat there and were talking, I realized that it is a costly thing to stand alone against peer pressure. To stand for your convictions. I really believe, though, that if you're going to be faithful, you're going to have to find ways to stand for what is right. Not everyone else is doing it. Sometimes we think that way. But I would say, observe the lives of those who go their own way and ask yourself where their decisions are taking them. How is their relationship with mom and dad? Are they really happy? And is there fruit from their lives? We need young people today who are willing to stand for what is right. There's a tremendous challenge in our churches today, and those of us who are older, we are just anxious to see young people who will stand for what is right. Young people tonight, I want you to know God really loves you. He has a plan and a purpose for your life, and you can trust your God to go with you in this journey of life. And I just want to encourage you, pay attention to the decisions and the directions of your life, And as you do that, you will experience God's richest blessings and power in your life. Let's stand together for prayer. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your faithfulness to us. Father, I thank you for this congregation, for these young people that have come faithfully every night, Lord. And I just pray that you would be with each one of them in a personal way in their journey of faith. Thank you for their parents. And I pray that you would open up communication, open up ways in which there can be a helping and a working together in the struggles and issues of life. I pray that you would protect them from the devastation of distance, of going their own way, of getting caught in things that would destroy their lives. Help them to make decisions and boundaries in their hearts about life that would enable them to walk faithfully before you. Father, we realize we have an enemy who seeks to destroy and to tear down our lives. I just pray that you would protect us from his determination to take us down wrong roads. Would you bless these young people that they would be able to experience the blessing and joy of your presence in their lives? We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated.